Hey there, folks. Welcome to the Jason Wright Show, where the mission is to improve always in all ways. So today I want to talk about something that is pretty much known to every sports fan, even if you're not a sports fan in the world. And it's this thing that Nick Saban is known for called the process. But before we get to the process, I want to talk about one of my favorite quotes in James Clear's book, The Atomic Habits, which I think is worth the price of admission. If you get nothing else out of Atomic Habits, it's this quote. James Clear says, "You don't rise to the level of your goals, but you fall to the level of your systems." I think this perfectly summarizes what Nick Saban made popular as the process. But before there was the process, what was there? Did Nick Saban just think this up on his own? Did he just come up with this idea of the process? Did he just sit and study this country boy from West Virginia that became the greatest NCAA football coach of all time? Where did he come up with the process? Well, it didn't begin with Nick Saban. In fact, it actually began whenever he was at Michigan State University and he had just taken over a team that was already facing some setbacks. It was, I believe, the year 1996, 1999. I can't remember exactly, but he had taken over the team and they already were on probation and they were limited in the number of scholarships that they could get. So they weren't really playing all that well. They weren't winning a lot of games. But it wasn't until Coach Saban, who already had this interest in human psychology, he always wanted to understand how the human brain works, that he went to this professor that was at Michigan State University that would be called names like Gandorf. He was a guy that was even described in my friend John Talty's book, which, by the way, I interviewed John Talty on this podcast to talk about his book about Nick Saban. I'll link to it in the show notes. But he notes in the book that people said this guy looked like a homeless person that had been picked up off the streets of Seattle. And yet this guy, this tall, lanky, bearded guy that looked like something out of a Tolkien story, would actually be the guy that would help co-author or co-found or whatever you want to call, co-conceive what Nick Saban would become famous for besides winning national championships, and that is the process. So who is this guy? Well, his name is Dr. Lionel Rosen. And here is how his and Nick Saban and the process's relationship all began. So Saban and his Michigan State Spartans were about to play the number one ranked Ohio State University. And Nick Saban went to Dr. Rosen with one simple question. How do you tell a team that has no chance of winning to go win? What do you do? What do you tell a team like that? And Dr. Rosen said, very simply, don't focus on winning the game. Instead, focus on winning each and every play. It wasn't about winning the 60 minutes. It was about winning the multiple 7-second snaps. And this is why we hear that Nick Saban always was more interested in the first 7 seconds off the snap of the ball than he was the entire game. It's because Dr. Rosen first said, don't worry about the entirety of the 60 minutes. Instead, worry about winning that play and that 7 seconds. Win the 7 seconds before you even look to win the 60 minutes. Because if you win enough of those 7 seconds, then ultimately the 60 seconds will take care of itself. Well, this resonated with Nick Saban, and it never left him. And he began, at that point, developing the process. And that's when he started coaching to that 7 seconds as opposed to the 60. That's why his players knew that it was all about executing each and every play, because what Nick Saban knew was that the compounding effect of those 7 seconds would be goal attainment. Now, how does the process apply to you and I in our everyday lives beyond something? I mean, I don't know about you. I will never be playing for a national championship in the NCAA. Not going to happen. Those days are long gone. But there are those little micro doses of accomplishment that I can still achieve. A lot of our New Year's resolutions that started out dealing with our health and weight loss and all this, they're gone. It's out the window. Because we made the goal to lose 20 pounds. We made the goal to do more exercising. But what was the underlying process? How could we break every single element of losing that 20 pounds down into little micro doses that were the first 7 seconds off the ball towards that goal? Maybe it's just every day coming home and putting on your workout clothes. That's it. Do that first. Achieve that small goal. Building upon that, and making sure you conquer and you achieve that goal each and every single day. That's where it starts. That's where the process begins. The process is all about that old cliche of how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. See, here's what'll happen. A lot of us, we decide that we want to climb Mount Everest, and let that be a metaphor for whatever your Mount Everest is. And instead of looking all the way to the top of Mount Everest and thinking to myself, my God, the air is so thin up there. My lungs are going to collapse. I'm going to be exhausted. I won't have the nourishment that I need. We don't need to be looking there. What we need to do is make sure that we can make that one step toward the top of the mountain. It's taking one single step at a time. Another coach who famously practiced this idea was John Wooden, arguably the best NCAA basketball coach of all time. When he was coaching the UCLA Bruins, they won 11 national championships in a 12-year period. And the first thing that Coach Wooden would do every single season with a new recruiting class is this. He wouldn't teach his guys how to make a perfect free throw shot. He wouldn't teach them how to guard. He wouldn't do anything like, if you've seen the movie Hoosiers, where Gene Hackman, he starts teaching his guys to do all these funky maneuvers and drills that they've never done before, and they're getting frustrated, and they don't understand why they're having to do these things before they can ever shoot a ball or block or do anything that has to do, seemingly, with basketball. Kind of like Mr. Miyagi and Danielson, the wax on, wax off. What, the paint the fence? What am I doing? This has nothing to do with fighting and learning karate. John Wooden did the exact same thing. He would teach his players to properly put their socks on. That's right. That was the first thing he would teach them, how to perfectly put their socks on. And the first thing he wanted them to do before every practice and every game was to put their socks on exactly the way he had showed them. It reduced blisters. It kept them more comfortable. It made their shoes and their socks last longer. It made them play better. That was one thing they didn't have to think about, and it was one thing each and every one of them could all master with zero talent. In fact, so dedicated to his own process was Coach Wooden that whenever players were asked, like Bill Walton and these greats, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, that played for him, they would ask, you know, they'd be asked, like, how did Coach Wooden coach you about the wins and the losses in that 80-plus game winning streak that you guys were on? They would all say the same thing. Rarely did Coach Wooden talk about wins or losses. He cared, but he didn't talk about whether they won or they lost. All he cared about was how they executed. You see, Coach Wooden coached directly to the player and his potential, because he knew if he could get the player to execute to the highest of their ability on every single second of the game, to the best of their ability, and play as close to their potential as possible, then the victories would take care of themselves. It was always funny whenever Coach Saban was coaching. And by the way, this year will be the first year that Coach Saban has not coached the Alabama Crimson Tide. And I got to say, I'm a little bummed by that. But nevertheless, it was always fun watching his press conferences. And if anybody ever asked about the next game, and heaven forbid asked somewhere in midseason about an SEC championship or a national championship, and watching how frustrated Nick Saban would get. He did not want his players thinking about an SEC championship or a national championship. What he wanted them to think about was the next game they had to play. Forget about the one that had just passed. And that's exactly what Dr. Rosen taught Nick Saban, who would then teach his players, don't worry about the play you just ran. Don't worry about three plays from now. Stay focused on the present play right here and now. And that is what made up the process. It wasn't just Nick Saban being a genius, as he is. It was literally scientific-backed psychology from this lanky, gray-haired professor who still lurks the halls of Michigan State University, who came to him, and if you saw him, if you look up Dr. Rosen, probably never played a down of football in his life, but that's the guy that told Nick Saban, if you want to start a process of winning, if you want to start the process of becoming the greatest head coach of all time and coach some of the greatest teams that will ever suit up in NCAA history, this is how you do it. You break it down into small bite-sized activities that you can win each and every time. And if you do that, the championships, well, I'd say they've taken care of themselves. So with that, I'll say it once again. You don't rise to the level of your goals. You fall to the level of your systems, or as is the case with Nick Saban and Dr. Rosen, your process. Never stop improving. Always, in all ways. I'm Jason, and I'm out. Well, that does it for this episode of The Jason Wright Show. Thank you so much for listening. This has been a Texas Titan Media production. Fourth Wall did the music. And as always, thank you so much for listening. Please consider going out to jasonwrightnow.com and signing up for the Vitruvian Letter. Also, please go out to iTunes. It takes like 30 seconds to just leave us a 5-star rating. It does wonders for the podcast. I would be so grateful. And with that, until we meet again, go crush it and endeavor to improve always in all ways. I'm out.